Today's sermon passage is from Luke chapter 8. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow the seed. As he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew up and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Well, hello, Woodman. So last weekend, we invited you to come alongside our students, both prayerfully and financially, as they seek to spend a part of their summer taking the gospel around the world. Now, on the financial side of things, they hosted their student missions auction to raise some support. And we threw that out to you as a church, and praise be to God, you responded. They raised over $62,000 in the auction. And the impact of which, I'll tell you, in some cases, is going to go far beyond this particular summer. I mean, do you remember being in high school? Looking around, for some of you, it's a couple years ago. For many of our students, committing to a trip like this, I mean, it's the biggest step of faith that they've taken. You know, next to following Jesus, this is the biggest step of faith they've taken in their young lives. And you showed them, you demonstrated that God will provide. I talked to one young guy. He's a senior in high school. He's never been on one of our mission trips before. And he's in a family that, you know, doesn't have a rich aunt or uncle that he can call and just make things easier. A lot of it was resting on his shoulders, solely. And he thought that he was going to have to fund his entire trip on his own. And so he put together this basket, and God in his goodness kind of hooked him up and gave him some extra stuff to put in there that he didn't know was coming. And he stood up, and that basket went to auction, and I don't know who, but one of y'all bought it. And you paid more for that basket than his entire trip costs. And listen, with tears in his eyes, he's telling me that he came into the auction thinking he was going to have to front most of the money himself, and he left the auction telling us he wants to help support other students on his team. And I'm telling you, I don't think he's ever going to forget that moment for the rest of his life. And so thank you. And really, looking at last weekend, I mean, that whole experience was a bit of a foreshadowing of the text that is before us this weekend. We're continuing on in our series, Ministry by the Sea, looking at the Gospel of Luke, and we come to what in many Bibles is referred to as the parable of the sower. If you have a Bible, you can see, is that what your Bible says? The parable of the sower. And it's a bit of an odd title, Because yes, I mean, there's a sower in the parable, but when you really get into it, it's less about the sower than it is the variety of soils that the sower sows the seed on. But if you even push further than that, it's actually less about the soils than it is about how we hear the word of God. It's really about how well do we listen to the words Jesus speaks. But I guess the parable of bad listeners, with one exception, is a bit of a mouthful. So we're just going to stick with the parable of the sower. Now, the passage can serve two purposes. On one hand, it's a bit of a diagnostic test for all of us. It gives us a cause for reflection as we consider how we each, as individuals, respond to the words of Jesus. On the other, there is a veiled encouragement in it, though it's not the main point. It's certainly there, in that we're not supposed to be, we have no need to be, discouraged by how some have responded to God's word in the past, or even be discouraged at how we may have responded historically. See, the reality is, we cannot tell by looking at people to whom it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But as we're faithful to share the word, as we're faithful to listen to the word, we should in faith expect that the message will bear much fruit. Fruit in the lives of those we share it with, and that it will bear much fruit in our lives as we listen. That is what we're going to look at today. So if you would, allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, we continue to pray for the conflict in Iran. Ask that you would protect those in our military and the innocent in all those nations being affected. Father, we pray that in the freedom we enjoy here, that we would not squander it now, that we would listen to your word, that you would give us ears to hear it, that we would lean in. And given the seriousness of what we are about to do, would you help me not to make any mistakes? Be glorified in your church, we ask. Amen. Well, if you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 8. And if we've not yet met, my name's Josh. I'm one of the pastors here. And we're going to begin in verse 4 with a call to listen. With a call to listen. Chapter 8, verse 4. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." There's a lot packed in there. And so let's just begin with the simple thing first, the parable itself. When Jesus said those words, on one level, Almost every single person in the audience understood what he was talking about. All of them were familiar with farming much more than I am, and all of them could relate. Farmers back then, they sowed their seed in the rainy season. That would have been like late fall, early winter. The crop would sprout in spring, and they'd look to harvest their crop sometime around June. Now, we figured some things out since back then, right? And so when we hear the parable, I mean, it almost sounds like the farmer's a little lazy. Does it sound like that? I mean, he's just throwing seed around indiscriminately. And why would he throw it on rock? That's just dumb. But farming in Jesus' day, it looked much different than it does in ours. I mean, today farming is like it's a science, you know, like crops are planted with precision, right? We have dedicated farmland. I mean, rocks are pulled out of it. Weeds are controlled, and like Monsanto, is that the seed company? Like they bless it all, right? Like we got farming down. But back then, it was totally different. Oftentimes, villagers, they would walk through your field. I mean, they would make a path if your field was in between their house, and they would just cut on through. And so consequently, that soil would get hard. And it's not rocks, as in like visually seeing them all. But in large parts of Israel there, around the Sea of Galilee, there was this thin layer of soil with like limestone, like bedrock underneath of it. And so by looking, you couldn't see, oh, there's the rocks, but you just knew all around the place, some soil wasn't very deep because there was this rock right under it. And don't even get me started on weeds. They had very little in the way of weed control. There's not much that they could do about it. So the farmer would scatter his seed generously. And the soil that the seed landed on would determine its outcome. All that to say, this is not a dumb farmer. This is a normal one. But seed that fell on the footpath, I mean, it would get trampled under people's feet, or birds would come and poach it. And the seed that fell on the thin soil, I mean, maybe sprout up and initially look good, but that puppy had nowhere to put down any roots, and so it wouldn't have any moisture. And the seed that fell among the thorns, I mean, we could pull for the little guy, but there is just no way it was going to compete, and the thorns and weeds would choke it out. But seed that landed on the good soil, that stuff would grow. And in Jesus' parable here, he says it yields 100-fold, which back then wasn't necessarily like miraculous, like how did that happen? But it certainly, like 100-fold yield would have been like a really, really, really good year. And just so we're clear, Jesus is talking about what happens when seed lands on different types of soil. Like we are not to envision like a plot of land with all four equally distributed. You know what I mean? He's just saying like the farmer doesn't know. And so he just tosses it. So as the crowd heard this, they're like, yes, that's what happens all the time. Jesus fully expects them to understand it on that level. But on another, Jesus expects not everyone to understand. And there's actually two clues in the text toward that. Number one is what Luke says. Look at verse 4 again. It says, and when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said, in a parable. He said, in a parable. And that makes a difference. He doesn't say that Jesus told them a parable. Luke says he said in a parable. What Jesus is wanting to communicate will be done through the parable itself. The story, the parable, will become the test as to whether or not people are picking up what he's throwing down. It's sort of similar to the way maybe, work with me. Parents communicate with their little kids, or maybe hypothetically their teenage sons. If you're out in a crowd, if you're doing something and the kids start acting up or like he's just acting like a dork, you could say, hey, you knock it off, quit that, and make a scene. Or some parents know it can be effective just to kind of, and the smart kid knows what this means. They hear through the look. That's what Jesus is doing with the parable. He's hoping people hear, not necessarily even the words, he's hoping they hear through the parable. But then the second clue is what Jesus says at the end of verse 8. He goes, as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Which sounds a little like something like Mr. Miyagi. Remember Karate Kid? It sounds a little bit like something that he would say. You know, everybody heard the parable. There wasn't a volume issue. But Jesus is wanting to know if they understood it. That's what he's after. Because notice he raised his voice. It doesn't say that he said, he who has ears to hear. It says he called out. He's like, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. People would have noticed the change in volume. He's looking for some comprehension. I mean, the teachers among us probably have had the experience from time to time. I'm not going to say that I ever have. But you're maybe trying to explain a difficult concept. And the class is all sitting there. And you kind of get finished. And then maybe you say something like, you tracking with me? And ideally, you're going to get some like, maybe you're going to get some. What you don't want to get is, you want some sort of response. The question for you is not even, do you have ears to hear? My question is, do you want to? I mean, there's a chance that you've now heard the parable twice, and you could be like, I don't know what this has to do with Jesus. And you don't care. Others of you might very well be like, I'm sure it's spiritual somehow, but I don't know. But I want to. Jesus is going to give us a little gauge that we can use to kind of evaluate. It's a warning. It's a warning that we need to consider. Verse 9 says, and when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, He said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now maybe you're like, for me, this is a little heady, right? It's not simple, and you can get really deep in this. And so I want to just, in the time we have, try to like give us some spiritual floaties to kind of keep our heads above water because it can get deep. First, notice this. Luke doesn't dismiss the crowd. You see that? It doesn't say that this happened privately after. What Luke is describing is Jesus shares the parable, says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then one of the disciples raised their hand and said, what does that mean? And before Jesus answers the question, before Jesus tells the disciples what the parable means, he prefaces it. Right? He said, before he answers what the parable means, he says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now, on the surface, first read, first blush, it can sound as if Jesus is saying, okay, guys, I'll explain the parable to you, but for everyone else, I speak in parables because I don't want them to understand. Do you get that vibe when you read it? Right? Verse 10 again. But for others, they are in parables so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now, this is super important. This is the air in your floaties. The line there, Jesus is paraphrasing Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. If you read it quick, you might think Jesus is just like free writing this, right? No, he's quoting loosely, he's paraphrasing Isaiah 6, 9. And back in Isaiah, God tells Isaiah that his preaching will actually have a hardening effect on many of his listeners. In other words, Isaiah is sent to proclaim God's word, but many people, God says, will fail to understand it. That's what he tells Isaiah. Jesus is saying something similar right here. As I teach, some will receive the message and grasp it, but others are going to hear the very same words and not be able to connect the dots. The key to understanding it is recognizing that the phrase so that describes the result of his teaching, not the purpose for it. It describes the result, not the purpose. For example, if we just look at the last couple of weeks, right? What was the result of Jesus' teaching in the lives of the 12 disciples and the women we looked at last weekend? All of them heard Jesus teach, and they followed, right? Peter, James, John, they left boats. Mary, Joanna, Susanna, they put their resources at his disposal. All of them heard Jesus teach and followed. They heard and they responded. What do we generally see the majority of the crowds do that hear Jesus teach? They listen. And then they go home. In other words, Jesus is not hiding the truth because he doesn't want people to understand it. Rather, the way people understand Jesus' teaching reveals the condition of their hearts. It is a not so subtle warning. If you can listen to Jesus if you can read his word, and it makes no practical difference in your life, strong chance you're not in on the secret. Those that are the ones who hear Jesus' words and see God's kingdom being revealed through this guy. That see God's kingdom being revealed through the person and work of Jesus. And consequently, recognizing this guy's different, this guy's special, these words, these are words of life, they respond. Now the question becomes, now which are you? Are you the one that can look back and identify times that you've heard the word of God and responded to it? Or have you heard the word of God and thought, that's nice, and not done much with it? The disciples asked what the parable meant, but Jesus' preface to his answer was to get the crowd thinking. He wanted to jar them a little bit. He wanted them to be like, well, what do you mean we wouldn't understand? But what the parable means should give us all a cause for reflection. Verse 11 says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the one on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and the fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Now, I began to preach by saying it can serve two purposes. On the one hand, there is a real, albeit veiled, encouragement. In that, we are not to be discouraged by how some have responded to his word in the past. Or even, we're not to be discouraged how we maybe historically have responded to God's word in our own lives. As we're faithful to share the good news of the gospel, it will, not all the time, but sometimes, bear much fruit. And maybe, right here, right now, or with me at another campus, or sitting at home, maybe you've been hesitant to God's word before. Maybe you've heard the gospel time and maybe time again. And it didn't move you. Because God's word goes out, there's a chance it's landing on some good soil in your heart right now. And even if you've been hesitant to it before, today might be the day you want to respond to it. And your past hesitation will not be held against you should you choose to respond this day. That if you were to confess Christ as Lord, believe that God raised him from the dead, believe that he is the secret of the kingdom, he will forgive your sins. Anytime we share the gospel, Jesus is being upfront. It may not land, but sometimes it will. And so, like the sower, just toss the gospel around. And even if your visual says it's probably not going to take, Jesus is like, you're not paying for the seed, toss it. On the other, though, hand, I said that this is also a bit of a diagnostic test for us all, a cause for reflection as we consider how we each have responded to his word. And this is where we really get to work. See, the problem with calling it the parable of the sower is that the sower really has the smallest role in the whole thing. But the problem with calling it the parable of the soils is even worse, because it could lead us to focus on the wrong thing. The point of the parable is not to get you and I reflecting and asking, what kind of soil am I? Why? Because in the parable, the soils, they're static, right? Seed that falls on the hard path is never going to take root. Seed in the thin soil on top of limestone is never going to get the nutrients it needs. Seed that is surrounded by thorns will always be choked out, and seed that lands in good soil will always be fruitful. The soil, it never changes, right? In the parable, the soil just is what it is. It's either hard ground, it's either thin ground, thorny ground, or good. But how you and I hear the word of God, that's dynamic. That can change. And that's why Jesus wants us to be very careful with how we hear. He begins by emphasizing that the seed is the word of God. There are those who hear it, but the devil takes it away. There are those who hear it, but fall away. There are those who hear it, but it gets choked out. And there are those who hear it, and it bears much fruit. And we don't always listen in exactly the same way every time, which is why we need to be careful. That's why we need to reflect. Let's look at them one by one. Sometimes we don't hear the word because we're closed off to it. I mean, lest we ever forget, we're engaged in a spiritual battle, right? I mean, Satan wants no one to hear the word and respond to it. It's why we pray for people to have ears to hear, because we know we have an enemy who's actively trying to stop that from happening. He will do his level best to take the word from getting to our hearts. I mean, I don't like to think about it, and y'all look pleasant right now, but some of you could very well have had a huge drop-down, drag-out fight today with the person you came to church with. You could have had the fight in the car on the way here. You could be in the middle of some huge conflict wherever it is that you work. And consequently, you really haven't heard a thing that I've said. You've been so stinking angry that all of this has just gone over your head. Satan was able to snatch the word from you before it even had a chance. Are you just now realizing that guy's been talking for like 36 minutes. It sometimes happens, doesn't it? Jesus says the word goes out and sometimes it lands on hard soil. Is that the condition of your heart right now? But sometimes, Jesus says, sometimes life makes it difficult. I mean, maybe you're able to recall a time when your faith was strong. Your times with the Lord were rich and worship came easy. But now, maybe it's a diagnosis. Maybe it's been tough to make ends meet. Maybe life isn't turning out the way that you'd hoped. And consequently, though you're present, you're preoccupied. You're so focused on the pressures that you've stopped listening to the person. Is that the condition of your heart right now? Is that how you've been listening? Filtering everything you've heard through the trials that you're going through. Jesus says that can happen. Sometimes it's that the world appears to offer something better. It's ironic, but the more you have of the world's goods, the more likely you are to overlook the one who gave them to you. I mean, the rise and the fall of the stock market can create real anxiety if your future is bound up solely in the value of your 401k. I mean, it's not good, but there are some professing followers of Jesus who right now legitimately think that a new relationship or a new car, a new spouse, or a better paying job would satisfy them more than the sovereign God of the universe. So consequently, they don't hear the word. I mean, they've heard it, but it's getting choked out because their eyes are looking at other things. Might that be the condition of your heart right now? Is that how you're listening right now? Jesus says that can happen. But sometimes we hear the word and hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. To hold it fast means we treasure it. When we hear it, we lean in. We meditate upon it. And we do so with a good and honest heart. An honest and good heart is one that is open and soft. It's receptive to his word. It's not defensive, but it's willing to be corrected by whatever it is Jesus says. And it desires to change whatever needs to change to be faithful to him. Consequently, it bears fruit with patience. I mean, even if you are actively desiring to listen, Jesus being up front, the fruit still takes time to grow. It does. But over time, the true evidence of real hearing is life change. Being able to look back and say, you know, though I'm not where I want to be, I have come a long way. If you stop and take a look at these 12 verses as a whole, it's kind of Luke, It's kind of like, I had this picture in my head. It's kind of like Luke is pulling back the curtains in a dark room, but in stages. There's three, like he pulls them back, and then he pulls them back, and then he just makes them wide open. Like everybody can listen, right? But only some will want to understand. And fewer still will choose to respond. Which stage are you at? And it's very likely not going to be the stage you're at 2 weeks ago or 4 years ago. Might not be the stage you're going to find yourself on Tuesday. But right now, where are you at? And are you listening? And we want to give you some time. Give us all some time to reflect on our answer to that question. Do you have ears to hear? Are you closed off to him? Maybe ask God to change that. Is life making it difficult to listen? Put your complaint before him. Has the world been more attractive as of late? Ask him for his forgiveness. Are you holding fast with an honest and good heart? Ask that you would bear much fruit. I'd like to pray for us all toward that end, and then we'll give you some time and respond together in worship. Amen? Heavenly Father, I'm sure we've all had the experience. Maybe we've gone to church and we're talking in the lobby. Maybe it's in the car on the way home. And someone says, oh, I love that. And in our hearts, we're like, really? I didn't get much out of it. Father, when your word goes out, when we lift up your name in song, how we listen matters. Father, we know we have an enemy that would love to snatch it away. We know the trials of this life can make it hard for us to hear. We know the pleasures of this world can choke it out. As we reflect upon the state of our own ears, Lord, we have ears to hear and bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.